All right, Matthew chapter 5, we'll be especially looking at verse 7. Verse 7 is our key verse this morning. But we'll begin with verse 3 once again in our reading. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Notice, the merciful obtain the reward of mercy. These others hold a different reward, as it were. It's linked with the blessing, but if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. And if you're merciful, then mercy will be shown to you. And this is such a great subject in the Bible. Blessed are the merciful. The Beatitudes show us the way to real happiness. They come and they say, blessed are. And that word blessed means, oh, so very happy. So it shows us the way to real happiness. But it also shows us how to please God. What is it that pleases God? What is it that's accepted to God? What kind of spirit? A proud spirit? A lofty spirit? Or is it one who's bankrupt in spirit before God, seeing he's everything and they're nothing? And so they show us how to please God. Well, how do we please God? What pleases him? Well, it pleases him when we look to him as needy beggars. That's what prayer is about. That's the hymns we've been singing this morning have been about prayer. When we look to him as needy beggars, being poor in spirit, seeing that he is everything and that we are hopeless without him. We're nothing without him. We're frail. We're unwise. We do stupid things. We say stupid things. We fail and we fall. But when we look to him as our everything, that we are hopeless without him, we talk to him that way, it pleases him when we are poor in spirit. David said, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt bless. So what pleases him? That we mourn over sin. Blessed are those that mourn. And we're talking about, blessed are those who mourn the loss of a job or the loss of a limb or the loss of their health. It's talking about blessed are those who mourn over sin, their own sin, the sins of others, like Isaiah did, and that we mourn over sin. The sacrifices of God, like we said, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so when we mourn over our sin and the sins of others, especially mourn that we have not loved Jesus as we should, that we have failed him so often, that we don't know him better. That kind of mourning pleases God. It pleases God when we're meek as to his will and his sovereignty over us. Remember, meekness is about, it's not cowering before others, being a quiet wallflower. It's meekness is resigning yourself, submitting yourself to the lordship of Christ. It's like Jesus in the garden when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In meekness, he committed his ways to the Lord, to the Father. And that's what meekness is. This was bowing to the lordship of Christ. And then you inherit the earth. That's a wonderful blessing in many ways. You've already inherited it, and it's all yours, and you are God's, and all things are yours. It pleases God also when we hunger and thirst for him more than anything or anyone else. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, Christ is our righteousness. His goodness is our goodness. His righteousness is ours. And we lay hold of it when we hunger and thirst for it. And of course, if we hunger and thirst, we cry out for him to bless us with more of his self, more of his presence, more of the experience of the blood of Christ and what its power in us, and a closer relationship with God, the breath of heaven in our life, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So it pleases God when we hunger and thirst for him more than anything else or anyone else. And now, today, we see that it pleases God when we are merciful. Oh, so very happy are the merciful, says verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. So God said, pronounces his happiness. He knows how to give his happiness, this supernatural happiness, this eternal joy that has always been his. He knows how to share it and give it to the merciful. It pleases him. And so we read in Ephesians, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. If it pleases God to see us showing mercy, then we ought to show mercy the best we can. It's been, I reckon I thought a little bit whether I'd say this or not, but when I get in my car now, the drivers in Southern California are so bad. I have to determine beforehand, before I back out of my driveway, that I'm just going to show mercy. I'm tempted to yell. I'm tempted to honk. I'm tempted to, you know, tell them you're still number one with my sign language. You know, I'm tempted to do all these things with some of the way. I mean, I only drive, 7 or 8 miles to work one way from Rialto to almost Etiwanda and Slover. And just the amount of terrible, inconsiderate, dangerous drivers there are. I mean, you can really get caught up with just wanting to, yeah, honk your horn and everything. But instead, I determine, and I'm not always successful. I wish I was, but I'm becoming more and more successful the more I try to practice it, is just be merciful. If he's going to cut me off, nothing I can do about it now, and I'm not going to let him live rent-free in my emotions. Amen? You can do it. It's happened. It's over. Guys tailgating me? Well, if it's dangerous and if someone else in the car with me, there's a good trick. You just turn on your windshield wiper with the fluid that comes out, and you get his car wet and mess up his windshield so he has to put his on. But that's not always showing mercy, is it? So the thing is that, you know, that's a good place to really practice it, I think, is to, you say, well, I practice patience. Yeah, well, you know, another thing is that patience can be tested sometimes within 2 inches, and you're almost in an accident because somebody was being inconsiderate. But to determine ahead of time, I'll be merciful. Then that mercy will say, okay. They'll think you're patient, but really you're being kind. You're showing mercy. Now, does that please God? Yes. Do you think Jesus would be driving around getting mad at people, getting steamed, honking his horn, yelling at people? No. It wouldn't rattle him, and it would be that a part of his mercy that he was being patient. It is not that we condone sin or we pass over it, but that we forgive and show mercy because Christ has shown infinite mercy to us. He has been merciful to us when he could have yelled at us, when he could have squashed us like a bug, when he could have thrown us into hell and we'd have gone and perished justly forever. He didn't do it. He had mercy. He showed his love and he gave his compassion to us. He showed infinite, measureless, everlasting mercy to us. Well, first of all, blessed are the merciful. Who are the merciful? The merciful are those already described by Jesus in these verses. The ones who are poor in spirit and who mourn over sin and its effects. There's the ones who are meek under the lordship of Christ. They hunger and thirst for not more of the world, but more of the fullness of God. The merciful are those who've experienced the mercy of God as born-again, blood-washed sinners, and they know what it is to come to God as a bankrupt soul. They know what it is to be mournful that they don't love him more, they don't serve him better, they don't read the scriptures as much as they should, they don't pray like they should, so they mourn over those things. They come meekly as one who says, Lord, I can't do anything right, but you're Lord of my life, and I meekly acquiesce to your will. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm in a situation I don't know what to do, but I resign myself to your lordship, your wisdom. Show me what to do, and I'll do it. I'll be meek. I'll follow you. And so that's who the merciful are. The merciful are those who've experienced the mercy of God and are born again, blood-washed believers. The merciful are those who've experienced God's mercy and appreciate His mercy, cherish His mercy in their own lives. Now, not only do the Beatitudes show us how to please God, they show us what are the most important things that are really important to God. What is important to God? Well, that I come realizing, even the Lord's Prayer teaches us that. The model prayer teaches us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, it's saying, be poor in spirit. He's high and lifted up. He's so far above you. You know, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. It's a resigning. It's a meekness. It's all these things. Not only do the Beatitudes show us how to please God, but it shows us what the important things to God are. God wants you to be merciful. Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. Here in the model prayer, as we come to an ending in verse 12 of the model prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then he comes right back to the subject of mercy and forgiveness. Verse 4, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Notice, blessed are those that show mercy, for they shall receive mercy here. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so this is important to God. Us being merciful is vital in God's concerns that we grow into this image of Christ and be merciful. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant there in Matthew chapter 18. How this man owed like $1 million to the king. And he came and begged mercy of the king. He said, please have mercy on me. Don't throw me into jail. Don't separate me from my family. And somehow I'll pay you back everything. The king, knowing that he could never pay it back, frankly forgave him, the Bible says. And he said, I forgive you everything. And then the Bible says, immediately that servant went out in the street and found a guy that owed him about 20 bucks. He said, give me the money that you owe me. He said, I don't have it. He said the same words the other guy had done to the king. He said, I don't have it, but if you let me, I can pay you back somehow. And so he had him thrown into prison, a debtor's prison, as it were. And the king, one of the king's servants told him, the king called that ungrateful servant to himself and said, did I not forgive you all that debt? And look what you've done. And then the Bible says in Matthew 18:33, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And then he casts him into prison and says, so my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Being merciful to one another as children of God should be the easiest thing in the world. We have a fellowship, a mutual common experience of being forgiven by God, of God showing us continual mercy every day since the day he saved us. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 is a wonderful verse. It's a scripture song, in fact. And it says here in Micah 6:8, God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It says, do right and love mercy. Walk with me. It's funny that loving mercy is right there in the middle. And it says, practice mercy. It says, love mercy. I love the mercy of God. That's one of my favorite things about God is His mercy. His compassion, His forgiveness. Because not only does He show the mercy to forgive and to forget all my sins, but the grace that He imparts to me to want to desire the things that He desires, to hate the things that He hates, to be cleansed, not only to be forgiven, but to be washed completely. But it begins with His mercy. Him not giving me what I deserve. Him instead showing pity and compassion. Showing mercy is vital to God. An unforgiving person cannot know the peace of sins forgiven. They would doubt and should doubt they're forgiven by God. You remember, Christian, though you've been born again, you are forgiven by God. And in the most practical heavenly sense, the eternal sense, all your sins are forgiven. But the point is that how can we enjoy the assurance of our sins being forgiven while we're holding others to their debts, while we're holding others to their sins against us? What the Bible is actually teaching us is that if we want to have the assurance of our salvation, if we want to have the peace that our sins are forgiven, if we want to enjoy God's mercy, experiential joy of His mercy, then we must be merciful to others. We must not hold debts against others. We must not hold sins and trespasses against others. Of course, God has forgiven you, but He will not give you that sense of His mercy while you're not merciful. That's what this verse is saying to us here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You'll enjoy it. You'll obtain it. You'll experience it. It'll be a real thing to you. And not only that, but the more we have a saying, and we get it from the Bible, you reap what you sow. With what measure you mete out, it shall be measured back to you. I want to be treated with mercy. I think the best leaders in the world have been those who have known how to share mercy. I don't remember what Caesar it was, but I know it's a true story that among the Roman armies, they had the great navy of their day as well. They had some of the fastest, most powerful ships. And because they had conquered the known civilized world, often those ships were not used for war after they had defeated those armies. They were used for bringing trade and carrying treasures and bringing the homages back to Caesar from these tax collectors in all these defeated countries. Well, there was a pirate in those days. And this pirate was clever, very, very adept at taking and knowing what ships to attack and knowing what they were carrying and then defeating the Roman navy that was in charge of those ships and stealing the treasure. Well, Caesar had had enough of it. He said, this guy, this pirate, and I forget the pirate's name too, he says, I am going to search him down. I've had my navy out there looking for him. He says, I am personally going out myself, and I will make sure that we find him and put an end to him. And so he went aboard his royal ship and went to go looking for that pirate. News got to that pirate. The Caesar himself is coming after you. He's going to search high and low. There's not going to be a place you're going to be able to hide. But he won't find you. So this pirate, what did he do? What he did was he immediately sent word to his other people here and there, where is the Caesar going to dock? Where is the Caesar going to begin his search? They said, on such and such an island. And he immediately set out for that island. The pirate came and saw the royal banners and where the Caesar had set up his temporary tents and so on. And the pirate got off his ship. And as the Caesar came out, the men were going to get him. The Caesar said, hold him, I want him for myself. He kneeled down, both knees in the sand, bared his neck to the Caesar. And he said, I knew it was just a matter of time before you would find me. He said, I know that I've come asking you for mercy. I bare my neck to you. I'm showing you how great you are. I'm showing you that I would never stand a chance. And here I am surrendering myself to you. Like I said, he bare his neck for Caesar to cut his head off. And what did the Caesar do? He put his hand on his head and forgave him all his pardons. Do you know what happened to that pirate? Caesar had stolen his heart by showing mercy. Instead of killing him, he had shown him mercy. He was so grateful. And Caesar took that pirate and made him the head of his navy for going out, protecting his ships, and seizing other pirate vessels. See, the mercy pleases God. Mercy is used by God to show the love of Christ to others. It's important to God. It's vital to God. And so the Bible says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. There's a story of an English soldier when England was at war with Spain, and this Spaniard had been out for a time of solitude and probably prayer with God. And this English soldier happened upon him. He was without his weapons. They were laid off to the side. The English soldier could have killed him. But noticing probably that the man had been in prayer and seeking solitude, the English soldier said, hurry, get your things before my friends catch up with me and get on your way. Little did the English soldier know that the Spaniard he had released was related to King Philip. Didn't know. But the day came when the Spaniards had captured a boat that soldier had been on in transport. And as they lined up the men in their shackles, the Spaniard recognized the English soldier and said, no, he's going to eat with me. He'll journey with me. He's not going into a prisoner hold. He's going to stay with me. What? Do you know this? He spared my life. And so, I remember the story. It's a true story. This boy was, he was about 10 or 11 years old. And he was in a bus station. And his parents had given him, among other things, a piece of chewing gum, like Wrigley's. And so he had a stick at that. But he noticed this little old lady across the way by herself. And so it just came into his heart to go give that piece of gum to her. She was up in her 80s, I guess. And so he went over there and said to ma'am, would you like a piece of gum? She said, oh, why, thank you. You're such a good boy. You're such a nice young man. Said, here I've been all alone. You're the first person to talk to me all night. And he said, well, I can sit here and talk with you if you'd like. I don't have anybody either. And so she said, I'll tell you what, why don't we split this piece of gum? He said, okay. So they split the piece of gum and got to talking. They exchanged addresses. Little did that boy know that that woman was a very, very wealthy, wealthy widow. Her husband was gone. Her children were gone. She had outlived them all. No cousins. And her life a solitude. And when she died, the boy got a letter in the mail saying to meet such and such a lawyer at such a place or whatever. He inherited over $100,000 after everything was dealt with on their property. $100,000, that was a lot of money way back in like 1920, 1921. He inherited it all. And the little note said, thank you for being a friend to a little old lady and sharing a piece of gum. See, mercy and kindness, these things you say, well, he practiced generosity. Yeah, he did, because he had mercy in his heart. He stayed. There are generations, you talk about a communication gap. You talk about a generation gap. A boy and a little old lady. But they became close friends. You know, this thing about mercy is pleasing to God, and He rewards it with more mercy. How do I live this beatitude? Who needs my mercy? How do I live it? By showing mercy to the needy. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, and that began the hospital movement in history. How do you want to be treated? If somebody sees you in need, how would you want to be treated? Well, treat the other person that way. We show mercy by comforting those who grieve And if we can be a help, if there's something we can do to comfort, then we should do it. By comforting those who grieve, we show mercy. How do I show mercy? By fully forgiving any personal offense against me. Those who hurt you are broken, they're blinded, they're far away from God. And like Jesus said when he was being crucified by the wicked, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While Paul was standing by and the evil religionists were throwing stones at Stephen for telling them the truth and pointing them to Christ, as he was dying, he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. That is a heavenly gift of mercy, to fully forgive any personal offense against you. Things happened to me when I was a kid. Things happened to me or were said to me and done to me very viciously by a pastor when I was an assistant pastor. I couldn't believe anybody could call themselves a Christian and set traps and say slanderous things and do ugly things like listening on the phone to my personal conversations with my wife. I couldn't believe that somebody could be so mean and so evil. But it wasn't until I found in my heart to fully forgive him. You know what happens sometimes? We forgive somebody, and it's an act. To forgive is to err is human, to forgive is divine. And by God's grace, by the help of his Spirit, to finally bury it to where it is, you know, you can sincerely with all your heart ask for God to bless them. The thing is that every once in a while there'll be a trigger. It'll bring that hurt back up. Some memory may be in a dream or something. You woke up and you find you have to have mercy again, that you have to forgive again. It's something that we can continually grow in and something that we have to continually practice. We should show mercy on those who are trapped by Satan and sin. You know, we have a friend or we have a loved one and they've fallen again, they've sinned again, and it's so hard to get upset. But to love them and hate the sin, that's truly wisdom. To see, yeah, but it's so hard to separate them. There's so much involved with this sin. But can Christ set them free? He set you free. And he can even make you to hate that sin that once enslaved you. And so the Bible tells us, all of us as Christians, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It's not a fleshly battle, it's a spiritual battle. And mercy is one of your chief weapons to show love and patience, humility, not quarrel, as the Bible teaches us. Thank God that Jesus is the friend of sinners. His mercy on the maniac of Gadara, if other people would have tried to beat him up or shut him up or get him locked up. But instead, Jesus had mercy on him. On Paul, Jesus showed great mercy. Here's Paul. He's persecuting the church, he's dividing families, he's even putting Christians to death. But Jesus showed mercy on him. Show mercy by praying for others. And oh, how Paul changed so many lives by preaching the gospel. We show mercy by praying for others. We show mercy to the least of God's creatures. That is our job. So should I just be merciful to important people or people I know, people I love? What about strangers? What about sinners? Show mercy to the least of God's creatures. You can tell a lot about people by how they treat children. You can learn a lot about people by how they treat older folks. You can tell a lot about somebody by how they treat the handicapped or the mentally challenged, or how they treat animals. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that a righteous man cares for the life of his animal. And the Bible says, do not muzzle the ox. Don't close that a leather strap around the mouth of the ox that's treading out the grain. If the ox is hungry, he's treading out more grain than you ever could. Let him eat. He's hungry. Then It also talks about in the law of Moses how that if a mother bird in her is separated from her eggs, how that you're supposed to, you can take one or two eggs to eat, I guess, if they're that type, the baby birds aren't being hatched, then you restore the nest to the mother. You let the mother back to the nest. And God cares about mother birds. He said, and this is where the Jews they have and others get the idea that you can't have cheeseburgers because one's dairy and one's meat. But that's silly. That's not in the Bible anywhere. It's not taught. But where they get it from is you shall not boil a baby goat in its mother's milk. And see, it's just, it doesn't fit. Why are you boiling a baby goat in its own mother's milk? You know, that's just cruel, isn't it? So the Bible shows a lot about care about to creatures. We can eat them. Well, you know, some of the ways that creatures are treated that we end up eating, I think it should be changed, don't you? I don't think it's right to keep a little calf in a little stall and keep pushing the hormones into it and keep feeding it when it can't move and it can't walk just so you can have a more tender veal steak. I think that's cruelty. I think the way that chickens are treated and turkeys are treated on some of these farms are just cruel. And we can eat the animals, but we ought to, you know, even in the old days when you trapped an animal or you caught an animal or shot an animal, and the first things you did, the Indian tribes practiced it here in North America, some of them did, they would thank God for the life of that animal that was given to them. And they would say, give me the courage of this animal, give me the beauty of this animal, and so on. Now there's a promise to the merciful. And that is, they shall obtain mercy. If you are merciful, God promises you mercy. What measure you mete out shall be given back to you. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. And the Bible says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, your acts of kindness. Even a cup of cool water given to someone in need in His name will bring a reward. It used to be every Christmas time, maybe even sometimes two or three times at Christmas, I'd watch It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and remember Clarence the Angel and so on. And here's George. He's lived his life pouring it out to help others. And now he's at the end. He's losing everything. And he's thinking about committing suicide and everything. Clarence saves him from that. Gets him home. And what happens? But family and friends that he thought had left him, he reaps in mercy and blessing what he had given out. And if we've received the amazing mercy of God, we cannot help but be merciful to others. Mercy is the reward of mercy. Salvation is not dependent on our being merciful to others. It is the free gift of God to us. God's mercy is totally free, or it would not be mercy. But if we've received this wonderful mercy, we should be showing it to others. God showed it to us. We should show it to others. The more you abound in mercy, the more you will resemble the Lord Jesus. The more people will see Jesus in you. Remember, too, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. The Bible says, His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. His mercy is brand spanking new today for you. Every day you are given another blessing, another chance, another fresh start at life. As God gives you a fresh start each new day and actually every moment, so you should reach beyond your pain and give those who've hurt you a fresh start through your forgiveness. Doesn't mean that you put the knife they stabbed you with back in their hand and turn your back. You know, I've shown mercy and forgiveness to people who've tried to hurt me bad. And I'll forgive them. But I will never put myself in a position with them again where they can do it to me again. And so there's that difference between being wise and merciful, right? And so you can forgive someone. But don't put the knife in their hand again to hurt you again. The mercies of the Lord are fresh and new, and so should ours be. It is only through the giving of mercy that your emotional wounds will be healed in your spirit. Mercy to men brings mercy from God. How many times have you heard that people who've lost a child to a murderer, lost a spouse to a murderer, they want revenge, they want justice and so on. And then it comes and there's like this, yes, justice has been served, but they're still emotionally undone. And it's not until these people come, and they'll tell you, it wasn't until I gave full forgiveness. And I needed God's help, but I had full forgiveness for what they did, that I'm able to move on with my life. Remember your own need of mercy every day from God, and you will be merciful to others. The Bible says a lot about this subject, especially in the New Testament for us, to be kind to one another, loving, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us, being tender-hearted to one another. You know, somebody said to me a couple times this week, and one of them was, I said, man, I feel so bad about missing church. This was two Sundays ago when I was sick. I feel so bad about it. I should just grind through it anyway. I should just do it anyway, but I'm not sure I could have stood. But I should have at least tried and trusted God's grace. And they said, you know what? You're only human. God understands that. I say, yeah, it's easy for me to forgive others, but myself, I don't forgive. They said, well, that's something you're going to have to learn from God. Are you that way? Are you the one that says, well, that's okay, don't worry about it, no problem. Well, will you forgive me? Of course I forgive you. But you don't forgive yourself. You miss your Bible reading. You miss church. You mess up somewhere with a besetting sin of some kind. And you hold that pressure down on yourself, that stress down on yourself. Sure, you ask God to forgive you, but you don't believe He's that merciful. But He is. He's far more merciful than you are. And when Christ was on the cross, He already knew about your failings and your weaknesses and your sins. And He shows you mercy. Remember that verse in Romans. But God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Father, we pray that You would help us to show Your mercy. Lord, we want to experience it, but Father, we want to cherish the sweetness of mercies already shown to us. We want to love You more and thank You more and be more faithful to You in light of Your great mercies to us. Like the pirate who surrendered his life to Caesar because of His mercy on him. Lord, because of Your great love and compassion and mercy to us, we want to love You more and walk closer with You. Our prayers be lit up like incense. Our worship be vibrant and real. And our affections towards You in our heart, our spiritual affections, grow stronger and deeper. Lord, we pray that You would bless us with this mercy, this virtue, this grace towards us. Bless us in Your mercy. Thank You for loving us and help us to show Your mercy to others. For it's in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Nate, I can't get this power to turn off. Can you come do this? Honey, you can come forward and get ready to play the piano for our last song. Look how in mercy I condescended down the steps to...
No problem.